All right, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, by the way, Seth, did you see there was a clarification on the smelling salts issue with the NFL?
What's the clarification?
Well, so the NFL had banned teams providing smelling salts to players.
Yeah, pneumonia packets.
Because it masks concussion symptoms. Mm-hmm. Apparently, players are allowed to use their own smelling salts.
Oh.
Teams just can't provide them.
I can use my own supply.
BYOSS.
You know what we need to do? I should have thought of this. Oh, we'll have to do it next week. I got to go out and get some. I don't know where you get
ammonia
packets.
Do you want to do a demonstration?
Yeah, yeah, so you can feel just what it does.
I'm going to take them.
Knock you back into your senses, that's for
sure. I've never
sure.
taken smelling salts before.
It's rough, man.
Is it?
Yeah, but then you start to get kind of a sick addiction to
it. Would you recommend taking them before we go on the air at 6 a.m.?
You and I are always fully awake.
Yeah.
Maybe you a little bit. Sometimes you don't get my jokes at 6 a.m. And I refuse to believe it's because they're not funny. It couldn't possibly be that they're not funny.
So you
funny
definitely
at 6
want me to take smelling salts.
I'm going to give you a smelling salt. That's how you know a joke is coming.
Okay. I have smelling salt.
Before I make some reference to Napoleon's aluminum cookware. Where's that? So Mark and John are over here trying to fix this aluminum tent that blew over.
Literally blew across the practice field. It was supposed to be our tent this morning.
So Mark and John are deep in concentration trying to figure out how to break this thing down.
If you're watching on the YouTube, it's right behind us.
And
right
meanwhile, I'm being the annoying guy telling Mark about how back in the day, aluminum was actually a very rare metal.
You're explaining.
Because of the process.
While he's trying to bend a piece of metal.
Yeah, yeah. So Napoleon had a set of dinnerware made out of aluminum that they only used for the highest of guests, like royalty
aluminum
and what have you, over the silver, because aluminum was so rare.
Wow.
Until they figured out the process to extract it from extract the ore.
Okay.
Where now aluminum's like, you know, no big deal.
And now the richies get the
silver. Now something you use
silver.
And throw, you crumple and throw away.
Now the bougies get the silver instead of the aluminum.
Yeah.
I got you.
I think they appreciated the historical perspective.
Did
they?
In the middle of trying to bend a gigantic piece of metal with their own hands?
I could tell a lot of people might have thought that, a lot of people might have thought that Vandermeer was perturbed and annoyed by me talking while they were doing physical labor.
Right.
I could tell that he respected it.
He was respecting it. He's going to use it later. He's,
it's
for
an
sure.
analogy for something.
Yeah, yeah. You ready to get petty again?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Shador Sanders.
I'm as ready as a Queen Victoria with an aluminum fork.
That was me laughing at your joke.
I gotta keep the smelling salts.
Smelling salts. All right, so let's do this. We've gotten petty a few extra times this week. These are interesting ones. We'll get to the Kyle Tucker one in just a second. This is Lewis Riddick. This is going to be me getting petty at Lewis Riddick, who continues to carry water for Shador Sanders.
Lewis Riddick, who made the entire ESPN draft cast for three straight days about Shador Sanders.
Him and Mel Kiper, the two of them. And Riddick was the one who annoyingly said before the draft that whatever team drafts Shador should adapt to what he wants to do.
Oh,
he's earned that, is
That's
what
right.
Lewis Riddick
That's
said.
Right.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Here was Lewis Riddick, who has an issue. Now, Shador Sanders is apparently going to start the Browns' first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing so with very few reps at camp because he's one of about 12 quarterbacks they've got there.
Yeah.
But the other ones are all banged up, so he's got to start in this game. Lewis Riddick thinks that Shador Sanders is being set up to fail.
I'm afraid he's going to get on the field in preseason games without a lot of practice reps, and then they're going to ask him to perform these heroic tasks in order to prove that he's worthy of being a starter when he hasn't had enough reps to really get comfortable. That's the kind of battle he's dealing with right now. I know. I've seen it. Dom, you've seen it. We've been in these camps. We know how that goes.
Yeah.
You don't get enough reps. They play a whole half of a game, and then all of a sudden coaches are going, why are you making that mistake? Why aren't you making that check? Why are you doing that technique? Well, damn, coach, I never was in there in practice. You never even talked to me during practice. But now you expect me to know. That's what they're going to be that's what they're going to expect of him. But if anyone can get it done, it's this kid because he's been trained the right way. But I'm telling you, he is ice skating uphill. He just is, and every time you hear this organization talk, you get that feel.
If anyone can get it done, it's the guy who's behind Dylan Gabriel on the depth chart.
I'll tell you what, though, I do give him credit for ice skating uphill. That's a good visual. I never thought of that. That's a tough one. I haven't heard that one, and I'm trying to imagine it right now.
Not easy.
I think that he didn't make it sound like they're intentionally setting him up to fail, but he's just kind of by circumstance set up to fail. It bothers me.
It's the whole I've seen this before kind of thing.
It bothers me and it annoys me because it reminds me of when people were convinced that Gary Kubiak was setting Case Keenum up to fail or didn't respect. When Gary Kubiak was the very one who was giving Case Keenum a chance to make it in the
undrafted
NFL.
Undrafted free agent.
Right, like Gary Kubiak gave Case his opportunity and was like, he brought him into the NFL, and yet people were dead set and convinced that, like, oh, Gary Kubiak just hates Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, what are you talking about? He's the one that's giving Case Keenum
a
chance.
Why Case is
what
here.
On earth are you talking about?
Yep.
So, yeah, so now the Browns, by drafting Shedeur Sanders, are somehow doing him a grave disservice by also giving him an opportunity to play in the preseason.
Yeah, it's very.
And they're not. Look, this presumes that the Browns coaches are all idiots or something.
Right.
Which might, in fact, be the case.
It could
Who knows?
Be the case.
But that somehow that they don't understand and realize, yeah, okay, it's a rookie in a bad position where he hasn't taken a lot of snaps. They account for that when they're evaluating a player.
Do you want to get to the Kyle Tucker pettiness? I'm going to skip down to that.
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker, who, of course, the Astros traded in the offseason for Isak Paredes, who's now out probably for the season, maybe.
Pending PRP injection.
Who was an all-star before that, though, we should point out. Hayden Wesneski, who is out for the season and getting Tommy John surgery, if not had it already. And then Cam Smith, who is really he's the crown jewel in this trade. If Cam Smith turns into a long-term, viable, big league baseball player, then the Astros probably win this trade.
And he started showing signs of some kind of rookie wall, and yet everybody feels great about him long-term.
Sure.
Having a much better rookie season than Kyle Tucker ever did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Kyle Tucker right now is not having a great season. Well, he overall is still having a good season. I guess it goes to show you how great he was at the beginning of the season, that the numbers I'm about to share with you since July 1st still have him at like 140 OPS plus.
Yeah.
Still like 40%
better.
On the season. Yeah. For the total on the season. That he's still a 140 OPS plus, 40% better than the average OPS in the league, shows you how good he was at the start. Because since July 1st, he's got an OPS of 624.
Oh, that's below average, Sean.
That's way below average.
Bad. Okay.
That's the OPS that had Astro fans getting ready to run Christian Walker and Yainer Diaz out of town.
That's right.
Earlier this year. He's hit one home run since July 1st.
They probably expected more than that.
I would think
they
did. Oh. I would think they would. And lo and behold.
Well, but at least the team's doing all right, right?
They were, Seth. You know, the funny thing about that, they were. And now Kyle Tucker's going through this slump, and they're four games back in the NL Central. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. So,
but at least they got extra years on his contract, right?
No, he's done after this year. Yeah,
okay,
he's done after this year. Okay, so Dozer Dude, who is an Astros fan on Twitter, was kind enough to capture and screen grab a few tweets from Cubs fans. Mm-hmm. Cubs have the worst offense I've seen for a supposed good team. Kyle Tucker is just not a good enough hitter to be a team's best player.
Ah.
Suzuki and PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong, guessing on every pitch, and the rest of the guys are average at best, cannot win anything with this roster.
No.
That's an interesting take, because Kyle Tucker, a good player for the Astros, I would submit was never their best player.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No! And that's where Kyle Tucker.
He was on his way last year, and then he broke the shin.
Yeah, look, and I'm not going to try to rewrite history or something, and act like we didn't want him to.
He's a really good player,
right?
Yeah.
Obviously, but there is a difference between Kyle Tucker when surrounded by all of those other golden era players, and Kyle Tucker if you expect him to be the guy.
Yep.
I also, at what point? I hope the Cubs slide a little bit longer so I can tweet something like, "Hey, Cubs fans, don't worry." Because now you don't have to worry about Kyle Tucker disappointing you in the playoffs.
You're waiting for that.
You'd rather not make the playoffs, because then you don't have to be further disappointed by Kyle Tucker.
Great point. We should point out there's still 3.5 games in front of they're firmly in the wild card.
Yeah.
They're the number one wild card team. The first team out of the postseason is 3.5 games behind them. But that's 1 week if you're not playing good baseball. More Cubs pettiness, Cub fan pettiness. The Cubs' only player with any leadership personality is a 40-year-old who barely plays. You can't pay Kyle Tucker $500 million to be this introverted loser who disappears like this. Introverted loser. Hey, man, Kyle Tucker's finding out, man. Cities like Chicago and places like that, they don't play around when it comes to their baseball.
No.
All right? Here's one more. This is Connor Barr, whoever that is. Kyle Tucker doesn't deserve any contract, $300 million or above. He can't hit, and the guy refuses to hustle.
Those three,
honestly, Seth, those three tweets, I think, captured the whole negative side of the balance sheet when it came to Kyle Tucker as a Houston Astro. Yeah. There was a lot of positive. I got to point that out. Like, Kyle Tucker is an undeniably very good baseball player and at times great baseball player. But if there were glitches with Kyle Tucker, if there were things that made us pause a little bit before we would say, Jim Crane, you got to spend $300 or $400 or $500 million on this guy.
Yeah.
It would be that, are we sure he's even the team's best player? It would be that he's an introverted loser. We never said that, but we did cite his personality at times.
Yeah.
Kind of a milquetoast, well, vanilla personality, and the refusal to hustle.
The refusal to hustle, which has shown up in the outfield, where he went from being 3 years ago, 4 years ago, a really, really good fielder, to these last few years, he's actually been a minus. Mm-hmm. And right now, he's minus one outs above average in right field.
Yeah. That's not Gold Glove caliber.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And
it's not $400 million caliber.
And a lot of times it just frankly looked – the reason that he wasn't getting to some balls was just because it didn't look like he was trying that hard.
Yep.
Yep.
Cubs fans are finding out, man. We got Cam Smith.
It's a damn shame.
Yeah, it's too bad.
I wouldn't have cared at all except that, like, Cubs – I tried to say something positive about Cam Smith once, and Cubs fans came
after
me hard.
You?
Yeah, and I was like, all right, well, we'll just say, like, let me bookmark a couple of these and see what happens.
The trade is aging very strangely because a month ago, or, like, you know, in late June, when Cam Smith was really starting to rise up and Isak Paredes was really helping carry the team through that period where they were missing a bunch of guys, and meanwhile, Kyle Tucker's an MVP candidate for the Cubs, it was like, okay, everybody's happy. I think both teams are, even with the Cubs not having Kyle Tucker long term signed up, I think back in June you would have asked both teams, they say, we do the trade over again. You know, we would do it. He had the Cubs in position and may still get him back there to where they can make a run in the postseason. And now it's like, I think the Astros are probably feeling better about it, even with Cam Smith's slump, just because, you know, like, okay, this is just what rookies go through. Whereas They traded for Kyle Tucker with the primary thing being him leading them to a World Series this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
otherwise, they would have given him a contract.
You got him on a rental.
Otherwise, they would have given him a deal.
Right, exactly. And then you also wonder, are the Cubs actually going to be the team that spends the money to keep Kyle Tucker around, even if he had – Cubs fans could have been just as miserable if they made a really good push, and then, lo and behold, it turns out that, no, they're not going to be able to – they're not going to be able to re-sign Kyle Tucker. They're not going to pay that much money if he was playing well. In right field, Cam Smith, for the first time in his career, playing in the outfield.
You got one of those color charts
right
up.
Field, 81st percentile for range, 87th percentile for arm strength, whereas Kyle Tucker is 35th percentile for range, 62nd percentile for arm strength.
So you're telling me, what's the thing that – oh, you just closed it. What's the thing Kyle Tucker is good at on defense? There was a big red stripe.
Oh, it's probably arm value.
Arm value, okay.
Yeah, arm value.
But that's – boy, that's interesting. That is really interesting. Too much blue on Cam Smith's hitting chart
Right
now.
Yeah, there's a lot. I can't do that.
Blue is bad, red good,
He's got an 83rd percentile for bat speed.
Okay.
Everything else is in the blue.
He's a young man. The bat should at least be swinging fast.
I'll tell you what, though. Talk about judgment at the plate from the golden era of the Astros. Chase rate, Kyle Tucker, 100th percentile.
Oh, he
must be at the absolute apex of
Really good, right?
Yeah.
Like he's not chasing anything.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, God. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We got a lot to get to still here at Texans training camp, live at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. C.J. Stroud met with the media yesterday. Is he going to play on Saturday? What is it going to look like with him having more ownership? How is that going to help the Texans? C.J. Stroud having more on his plate this season. We will discuss coming up next.